A reading from the Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched, Jesus walked by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lutheran in me, sorry. Well, good morning, church. It is such a joy to be with you here today. I have heard a lot about who you are. Pastor Debbie has been an incredible co-conspirator in this work of love. And I am deeply grateful for your commitment and support for our students at Ithaca College as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to start off with a story. As a little boy, I was often known in my family as the curious one, or as my family would say, el curioso, which is curious in Spanish, the one with a really big imagination, always trying to figure things out. And I always seem to immerse myself in words and worlds that others seem to have no idea existed. And it took me a while to understand that dragons, fairies, and colorful mountains that were magical were not a part of my parents' scope of imagination. I also grew up learning English as a second language, a language foreign to my parents, who left their country of origin, El Salvador, to escape war and poverty. The English language growing up was a mix of a lot of unfamiliar sounds, sounds that I would often hear coming from the television and at times would try to repeat them, mimicking sounds, not words, and attempting to have conversations. At least I was confident. The first time English finally clicked in, I was sitting in my room attempting to read one of those highlight magazines that Scholastic puts out. It was a story about a green toad and a turtle who were friends. And after reading a sentence over and over and over again, I realized I was reading in English. I got up, rushed to my parents' room, and said, "Puedo leer, I can read, come and see." Side note, I was convinced that I was only able to read English in my room, and that if I went anywhere else, that it wouldn't be possible. My parents, unaware of what I was reading to them, leaned in, and without hesitation asked me to try to read them the whole story in English. And I read to them slowly, enunciating each syllable. And they would nod with smiles on their faces, pride beaming from them. The days that followed, it became a thing. My parents, when they were around friends or sometimes even strangers, would say, puede leer en inglés, he can read in English. We heard him. We witnessed it in person. I share this story because it points me to today's gospel. John the Baptist doesn't skip a beat telling others that the Son of God is in their midst. He witnesses saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. John the baptizer is testifying to the promise of the one that has come, declaring, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John's not one to hold back. Time after time, he's witnessing to others, see, that's him over there. The Son of God is here. The promise we have been waiting for is in the flesh, present amongst us. Now imagine yourself as a spectator in this very text. How might you react when this man out of nowhere keeps telling you that the Son of God has arrived over and over again? He hasn't even met him in person in day one. How bold of him to say that the Son of God has come. Well, I'm not sure about you, but I would likely be dismissive on day one. Out of curiosity on day two, I may show up, keep my distance, be a bit cynical. And yet there goes John again. And what do you know? He points to Jesus walking by. At that moment, I imagine myself having all kinds of feelings. Would I be so bold as the two disciples and just start following Jesus? I'm not sure I would. Intellectually, I understand the power of witnessing to the world that Jesus is in our midst, but I'm also the first to admit that saying Jesus is here can cause some internal turmoil within me. I don't want to find myself having to argue a theological point, especially against the backdrop of a Christianity sabotaged by a rhetoric of exclusion. I would be anxious to even point to Jesus. Yes, I said it. I would feel nervous telling the world that Jesus is amongst us. Theologian David Luce anchors this moment of John testifying as the essence of evangelism. He writes, at its heart, evangelism is noticing what God is doing in our lives, sharing with others and inviting them to come and see for themselves. So why is this so hard to do? Why are we so afraid of spreading the good news to others? After John exclaims again, look, here is the Lamb of God, the disciples decide to follow Jesus. They kind of creep up on Jesus out of nowhere. Then Jesus turns and asks Andrew and the other disciple, what are you looking for? A reasonable response, right? And in this text, however, the English does not fully capture what is happening in this interaction between Jesus and the disciples. The question is more than, are you lost? Can I help you find something? Jesus is asking them, what are you seeking? What do you long for? What do you need? Jesus isn't questioning who they are. He isn't asking them for credentials, but a question that opens up what will follow, an open invitation to come and see. No strings attached, no questions asked. What are we seeking? A similar question is one we should ask ourselves as a congregation, as members of a wider community. This particular moment is the culmination of John's witnessing, announcing that Jesus is indeed amongst us. But more importantly, we are directed to Jesus and alongside the two disciples that have just learned that Jesus walked by. We too join in the journey. The disciples, eager to follow Jesus, ask him where he is staying. Jesus doesn't ask why, but responds with a simple phrase, come and see. The verb see or meno has a bit more weight. It actually can mean abide, remain, endure, commune, dwell. It offers a sense of permanence or stability. Meno is actually used 40 plus times in John to describe this intimate relationship into which Jesus invites us. And just like the disciples, we too are invited to come and see who Jesus is. Theologian Audrey West says that Jesus' answer captures an essential message of John's gospel. If you want to know the Word made flesh, come and see Jesus. If you want to know what love is like, come and see Jesus. If you're going to experience God's glory, to be filled with the bread that never perishes, to quench your thirst with living water, to be born again, to abide in love, to behold the light of the world, to experience the way, the truth, and the life, to enter into life everlasting, if you want to know God, come and see Jesus. Now the question comes back to us. How do we invite the world to come and see? Neither John nor Andrew can contain their testimony about who Jesus is. They have had an encounter with Christ that has had such an impact on their lives that they cannot help but tell others about it. John tells his disciples and everyone else within earshot about Jesus. Andrew runs to find his brother, Peter, and brings him to Jesus so that Peter might have the same life-changing encounter he has experienced. Today's gospel shows us that Jesus is rooted in the context of community. Jesus' followers ground the ministry he will undertake in the chapters that follow. Jesus' work is intertwined with the work of humanity. Jesus' ministry and work are never separated from his identity as God's beloved, but it's also fleshed out through and in his connection to the beloved community. There are eternal implications of the shared life of the beloved disciples with Jesus in the continuous work of recognition of their humanity as a sign of baptism. Their work is rooted in baptism because each is called out by the voice of love. Each is recognized in their humanity as God's beloved, and this is what made their work for the kingdom possible. Friends, can we embrace our baptismal identity as the body of Christ? I often find myself having numerous conversations with young adults who are wrestling with the backdrop of the world that they have in front of us, that we have in front of us. I hear too often painful memories of exclusion, painful experiences of feeling invisible, not loved, of not knowing how even to notice love. Today's gospel calls us to embody the beloved community. It calls us to trust that Jesus walks amongst us, empowering us to do the work of ministry, to live out our call for justice, to imagine the impossible as possible, to offer hope to the lowly, to recenter God's beloved creation, to yell from the rooftop that the God we serve is a God of love. The world before us is going through some very turbulent times. And it's hard some days to even imagine the possibility that come and see offers. Rumors of war, political divides, the fear instilled by the threat of hate and violence. And the list can go on and on and on. And I will admit, I'm tired of even trying some days. I'm fearful of the mockery, the rejection when so much pain is just surrounding me. Yet I know I cannot afford to not witness to the world that I see Jesus, because life as we know it is at stake. I'm also aware that today is the day prior to a day around the country where many will be commemorating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Doctor. Dr. King witnesses to us what it means to stand against the bigotry of racism and to witness to the world that Jesus invites us to come and see, to experience love, to enact justice. And I know this isn't an easy challenge to uphold. It isn't easy to say, come and see. Biblical scholar Carolyn Lewis reminds us that God needs our willingness to witness to the truth. We cannot let the fear of offense, the fear of losing numbers, the fear of empty church pews detract us from testifying like John the Baptist. Friends, how will we go out into the world and testify to the witness of Jesus? Where may we find ourselves inviting others, no strings attached? What does the world need from us? What is our deepest longing to see, to abide, to belong to Christ? Can we stand up against the principalities of evil and hold on to the promise that Jesus invites all to come and abide in God's presence? As the body of Christ, we say yes. We say yes that we believe in a Christ that opens all the spaces for all. A Christ that has a posture of hope. A God whose grace covers us all. Jesus invites us to come and see. And as we encounter Christ, our lives are transformed. May we go out into the world and with the same tenacity of John the Baptist testify that we too have seen Jesus. May we be witnesses to justice in the face of injustice. May we proclaim love in the face of hate. And may we testify that Jesus is amongst us in the face of fear. Amen.